I'm Pastor Tom Cochran. I'm the lead pastor at Expansion Church, starting in Schererville, Indiana, in the coming months. I'm a good friend of Pastor Rob's, and Pastor Rob asked me to come and share with you our story and what God is doing in Northwest Indiana, and I'm excited to do that. Woody made mention of the fact that in first service that my path and Level 13's path has kind of been interconnected. I was a youth pastor for a while here in Fort Wayne at Northeast Christian Church, which is over on Stellhorn and Reed. And as some things were transitioning and God was calling my wife and I to something new, we had no idea what that was. In fact, I was a part of a prayer group with Rob and had him and the group be praying for us. And in the process of praying, I told him, I said, guys, I got to make a confession. I've sent out 80 resumes and I've heard nothing back. Which, like, makes you feel really good, right? You send out 80 resumes and nobody calls you? I'm like, come on! In fact, the only people who were calling me on the back end of that was people to lead a church plant. And Rob, as I was sharing that with Rob one day, he looked at me and says, Tom, I think that maybe God's calling you to plant a church. And I'm like, you're nuts. Church planters are insane, crazy people. I don't want to have anything to do with them. He's like, then why do you hang out with me, right? But Rob saw something in my wife and I that we hadn't yet seen. And God starts confirming over and over again, or reminding us, telling us of what he wants to do in our lives. And we started a church in Wabash, Indiana, called New Journey Community Church. And I will tell you, I want to give honor and thanks to Rob, because if it wasn't for Rob, I'm not sure where we would be. Because he saw what God was doing. So can I tell you that your pastor is an incredible man of God who knows the voice of God, and as he leads, follow him well, because he leads from a place of praying and listening to God and then moving out. And he had the courage to look at me and say, hey, the idea that you had for your life, maybe that's not what God's doing. Maybe God's doing this. And that's where God took us. We were able to plant New Journey Community Church about 6 years ago, and got to see God do some pretty amazing things. We've seen over 130 people come to faith in 6 years. We just in February, our 5-year anniversary, bought a 32,000 square foot school building and 16.5 acres of land for $80,000. When I told Rob that, he's like, you jerk. I just told him, I said, just keep praying, man. Just keep praying, right? So God has been on the move. And a few months ago, about Easter of this past year, I'm at my house. My wife's on a missions trip to Mexico, and I'm reading through scripture and praying and asking God. I'm like, God, you want to do something. I just don't know what it is. And I was thinking it was more like, where are we headed next for the church? I didn't expect what I got. And God took me to Habakkuk chapter 2. And Habakkuk chapter 2, the prophet says that the seed is still in the barn. What you mean to plant hasn't even been planted yet. And I went, Lord, I think you're calling me to plant another church, and I'm not sure what that looks like, but I also know that my wife's in Mexico, and I can't tell her, so you're going to have to do something really cool, and because there's some space, like physical space between her and I. She's in Mexico. I can't get there. We can't really talk on the phone, so you're going to have to do something. The next morning, I wake up, and there's a text from my wife. She says, I'm going to call you at this time. So she calls me and says, I was reading in scripture yesterday. And I'm like, whoa, wait. What are you getting ready to say? Because if you say Habakkuk chapter 2, the seed's still in the barn, you know what that means. We're going to go plant again. And she says, God took me to Habakkuk chapter 2 and said, the seed's still in the barn. I'm like, haha, we're going to go plant another church, baby. And we got all excited. And we started to say, okay, God, what are you up to? And announced to our church that we dearly love, that we are going to go start this new work, and God has shown up. So in the process of praying, God calls us to plant what we believe the church's name is supposed to be, Expansion Church. And if you have your devices, you can go to expansionchurch.tv. You can sign up to be on our prayer team. I also have a table in the back in the foyer area or the lobby. You can sign up to be a part of our prayer team. But there's a reason why we call it Expansion Church. Expansion Church gives you the idea that God is moving outward and expanding something that's growing. We want to start something that's growing because our being a part of the Wesleyan Church, the Chicagoland area where we're going to, we're about 30 miles outside of Chicago, and I think that's kind of cool because I'm a Cubs fan. Anybody in the room? Yeah, there's a couple of us. We're more bold now that we're in the playoffs, you know? It's like, you know, we had the prophecy from Back to the Future, and now we're in the playoffs, and we're like, woo, I'm a Cubs fan. Most of us, if the Cubs weren't in the playoffs and we didn't have Back to the Future, we wouldn't be telling you we're Cubs fans, you know? But in the Chicagoland area, this is a fast-growing area. In fact, Lake County has 500,000 people living in the county right now. That's an increase of about 25,000 people in the last 3 years. And if statistics are right, that means half of them aren't connected to a church or following Christ in any manner. So that means there's 250,000 people unreached, and we've got to expand not just one church, but many. So Expansion Church isn't the only church that's going into the area. There's also Rethink Church, which is going into Merrillville, just a few miles away from us. There's a church going up in East Chicago. But our district, our group of churches, our fellowship of churches, are moving into that area and starting new churches. So we're not the only church in the game, but this is what God has called us to do specifically with Expansion Church, is to plant something that's growing and expanding and being a part of reaching more people for Jesus. And in fact, our kind of tagline is this: we exist to fill the gap between faith and life. I don't know about you, but I felt gaps in my life from time to time, and I don't like them. In fact, Genesis chapter 1 talks about one of those gaps. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have your phones or tablets, you can go there with me. Genesis chapter 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse." Now pause for a second. The word expanse, according to what version of the Bible you have, if you have a King James or New King James or NLT or NIV or The Message, we'll translate that word expanse to a couple of different options. There's firmament, there's space, there's vault, or there's gap. The idea of expanse is that there's space or a gap. There's something there that we're not really sure what it is, but we just know that it's there. Next slide says this. Says between the waters, to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse, or the gap, the void, the space, and he separated the water under the expanse from the water that is above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and morning the second day. So in Genesis, you have this concept. You ready? There's water on the surface of the earth. So like ponds and rivers and oceans, there's water. But there's also this water that's around the globe. And the idea scientists have said is that there was this kind of dome of water that created this greenhouse effect over the earth. Like you would wake up and there would be dew. It didn't rain until the flood. So there's this water that's kind of coming through to the surface of the water. But there's also water that's on the earth. And there's something in between this. And we've got to create a name for it. So God says, okay, we're going to call that sky. So if you walk outside right now and you look up and you're going to see clouds, you're going to see blue and all of that, you know that the earth has a limit to it. It doesn't keep going on forever. The earth is a circle, of course, and there's this, but the space between the edge of the earth's atmosphere and us, what do we call that? And God calls it sky. Now think about that for a second. If you were to walk outside and look, you would probably say, well, there's nothing between me and the atmosphere, the edge of the atmosphere, right? There may be some clouds or some things, but on a really clear day, you wouldn't think that that whole space between you and the edge of the atmosphere is filled space. You would see it maybe as empty, unless you start thinking about all the oxygen molecules and the things that are happening that's unseen in that environment. See, to really understand space, we have to first understand that, see it as space is empty, to really understand that space is really full. This is what I mean. So I was a youth pastor in Fort Wayne, right? I'm 6'5", I'm 240 pounds. Well, I was then. And I'm bigger than anything that I could face, and I don't scare very easy. In fact, I kind of rise to a challenge. Somebody dares me to do something, I promise you I'll probably end up doing it, because I don't like to fail and I don't like to be looked at as a wimp, okay? So we go to Deep River Water Park, which is in Valparaiso, Indiana, take my whole youth group there, and we get to the water park, and we're having a great time, and we go towards the back of the water park, and there's this slide. And the moment I looked at it, I said, there's no way in God's green earth I'm going on that thing, because it is a little over 3 stories tall, and it's almost a straight down drop. For somebody who's terrified of heights, who doesn't like to heights, I mean, I'm not vertically challenged by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't know why, I'm just kind of terrified of heights. One of my high school students looked at me, and he's like, who knew, by the way, that I was scared of heights, and knew that I wouldn't back down from a challenge, looks at me and he says, hey, Pastor Tom, I dare you to go on the water slide with me. I'm like, crap. I had just looked at my wife and told her, there's no way I'm going on the slide. I'm like, I don't care. There's nothing that you're going to say to me that's going to get me to go on the slide. She's like, great. I said that because I knew she wasn't going. So I knew that she wouldn't challenge me to go because I'd make her go. So it was a safe bet, right? I didn't expect one of my high school students to look at me and say, Tom, I dare you to go. I had already told her that I wasn't going to go. She looks at me and says, I'm going to go get a drink from the concession stand. I'll be right back. Student tells me that. And I'm like, fine, let's go. So we walk up towards the slide. Now, I'm looking at the stairs winding around that's going to get up to the 3 stories. And the first thought that runs through my head is, I should have kissed my wife. I should have told her that I loved her, that I know that there's never going to be anyone that she's going to be able to find like me. But if she could ever find someone close, she should probably remarry because I'm going to die. I mean, it was bad. So I get up the stairs, not to mention my legs are like quivering, like they're shaking as I'm walking up. I'm just close my eyes one step at a time, all the way up. I get up to the final of the platform to go on the slide, and there's this beautiful sign right in front of the slide. Like you sit down, and it's got the jets of water that's coming, you know, going to propel you down the slide. There's this plaque that says, do not push yourself off. I'm like, great. I sit down, and I clench the sides of the slide, and I'm holding, and I'm holding. And this little girl that's a lifeguard, she's probably like 5 years old, says, go. Go. And I let go. Now, the water jets are supposed to just gently move you to down the edge of the slide so that once you get over the hump, gravity will take its effect and you will go, because an object in the air will come down. That's gravity, right? What goes up must come down. However, they didn't design the slide for somebody who's 240 some pounds, and that jet of water was not moving me. There I am, stuck on this slide. And she looks at me, the lifeguard has the audacity to go, give yourself a push. Nothing. She's like, push. Nothing. She's getting frustrated. She goes, push. And I'm like, boom. And then it hit me. There is a space between my body and that plastic slide. And it's a straight down drop. Time freezes. I look out and I see my lovely bride walking in front of the slide. And I think, first thought is, my wife's going to see my bloody carcass at the end of this slide. My second thought was, oh God, I'm going to die. And then within a couple of seconds, my body makes contact with the slide and I ride it all the way down. I get up from the slide and I am white as a ghost. I look at the student who went down the other slide and I'm like, you jerk! Scariest moment of my life was in the gap, in that space, because I knew that space was empty. And it's in the moments when you feel the emptiness that you begin to experience what God has already created as space is full. You just have to highlight it. If you were to look at this pitcher of water, you would, you know, different angles, you could potentially say, well, there's nothing in there because you can see right through it, right? I mean, we all know because of the lights, the way they're refracting, there's water in this. But if you were just to look from a distance, you might say this picture's empty. It takes something to give you contrast to help you see that this water is actually, sorry, Rob, I just got stuff all over your table. To see that it's actually filled, the space in the pitcher. It's not an empty pitcher. There's actually something there. But you have to give contrast. My question for you is, what are the gaps in your life and where do you need to add contrast? Are the gaps in your life with faith, your relationship with God? Maybe you feel that God is far off and that God isn't active or moving in your life. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe you've offended someone or hurt someone. And in that reality, there is this space between you and that other person. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in finances. But where's the gap? Can I tell you today that God is concerned and wants to fill the gap or highlight the fact that the gap has already been filled? That empty space that you feel as empty isn't really empty. God is present and he's there. I get the opportunity to do that in Northwest Indiana through Expansion Church and help people see that God is there, that God has never left, that God has never abandoned them, that God is there in the gaps that they feel, even though it may feel as empty, because if we don't feel gap as empty, we never know that we need to look to God to highlight his activity in the gap. So how do you highlight God's activity in the gap? The first thing is you got to pray. James chapter 5 talks about this. In fact, James 5, 13 to 16 specifically highlights the role of prayer. If there's any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Then James tells the story of Elijah, how Elijah was just an ordinary guy who prayed, and God stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again, and God started the rain back. The reality is that as you pray, you begin to attune your eyes to see the activity of God around you. So as you pray for your marriage, you begin to see God show up, your God doing things that maybe you didn't see before. In regards to finances, you begin to pray and ask God to help meet your needs, and you begin to see, you know what, there are scriptural principles of stewardship that I can follow and manage my money according to scripture, and God is in that. When you come to relationships, you begin to pray, and you see that God has already called us to reconcile with our neighbor and to treat people a specific way, to be quick to forgive, slow to anger. And all of those things begin to make sense. You begin to see them as you pray. The second step is you begin to act. Joshua 1, 7 to 9 says, have I not told you to be strong and courageous? Everywhere you go, I'm going to give you the places at your feet. Step. Memorize my word. Don't let my word depart from you. So what would it look like for us as we begin to pray and ask God to show us where he's at work in our lives? Then God calls us to step out and to join him. Because when we step out and join him, the reality is that we begin to see God more clearly than we've ever saw him before. Let me tell you how it happened for me. So we began to plant. We began to step out in the process of starting Expansion Church. And my parents live in Kokomo area. It's a couple hours away. And my dad calls me one day and he's like, hey, son, I need you to come to Kokomo with me. And then we're going to go to Gas City, which is just north of Indianapolis. He's like, I want you to go with me and meet this guy. I'm like, Dad, I got to drive 40 minutes from Wabash to you and then another 40 minutes to Gas City just to meet a guy. Like, what's going on? He's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. Just come. So I drove into Kokomo. We met my parents at went to Gas City. As we get to Gas City, he introduces me to this guy, and he's like, hey, I want you to introduce you to this guy. He lives in Cherryville, which is where we're planting, and he owns a business. Not only does he own a business, but he wants you to connect with him the moment you guys get to town, because he's going to introduce you to a whole bunch of other business owners and a whole bunch of leaders in the community. And the reality is that he wants to help you guys start your church, and he wants to connect and meet with you guys. And all of a sudden I went, whoa, wait a second. You mean we've been praying that God would show up and do amazing things, and we stepped out because my dad invited me, and it was really kind of the like we got this feeling like we're supposed to go. I couldn't blow it off. We get there, and then we meet a guy who actually lives in Sherrillville, but he's in Gas City, and I met him through my dad who lives in Kokomo, and all of a sudden, my brain starts kind of putting all the pieces together, and I went, holy cow. What would have happened if I would have blown my dad off and said no? What would have happened if I hadn't listened to that prompting of God? What would have happened if I hadn't been praying? There's a reality that God shows up, and we don't even realize that he's in the room until we begin to pray and then step out in faith. Maybe God is asking you to do something. Maybe in response to prayer, God asks you to start forgiving somebody and go talk with them. Maybe God's asking you to love your wife in a practical way that would serve her and that would encourage her. Wives, maybe God's asking you to encourage your husband and let him watch football on a Sunday afternoon. It's really okay. Maybe God's asking you, when it comes to finance, that you give and tithe that 10% of your income back to God in faith, saying, God, you've given me my resources. I'm going to trust you. And then all of a sudden, as you do that, then God shows up and does great things, and you begin to steward and manage your money in a way that's scriptural, and all of a sudden you realize that as you budget, things line up, and all of a sudden ends meet, and you stand back and go, how did it all happen? And God says, wait, I've been there the whole time. Because I believe that space isn't empty. God's there. And if God is there, we simply just need to highlight his activity. And as we begin to pray and ask God to show us where he's at, and then God asks us to act and to be obedient to what he's calling us to, then we get to celebrate what God has done. Psalm 145 says this: let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. When I came off that slide, the first words that I said was to that kid, jerk. The second thing I said was, I survived. And I ran and told my wife. I said, Sarah, I made it. Can you believe it? I survived. I threw myself off the slide. There was 6 feet of space between my back and the slide. And I hit the slide and came down, and praise God, I didn't die. Yeah, exactly. I told the story. And then guess what happened? My youth group gets together, and we're in the van on the way home, and I tell them the story, and I give an altar call, and 70 people come to... No, not really. But I tell them the story. I get back to the church, and I tell my pastor, who wasn't there, the story. I tell my youth workers the story. I call my mom, my grandma, my third cousin. I tell everybody, I almost died. But praise be to God, I survived. The reality is this: what you celebrate, you focus on. And when you celebrate it, the story is addictive. And people begin to share the story. People begin to tell your story. They're like, yeah, man, I knew this guy who was up on this water slide, and he threw himself off, and he was the stupidest guy ever. But man, God spared him and saved his life, and he's now planting a church in Sherrillville. Or you get somebody who says, you know what? I didn't think that God was in my marriage. And I began to pray. As I began to pray, I began to see how God was working here and there and in this little area and this little area. And then God told me that I needed to treat my spouse with dignity and respect. That I was to love them and not to just pick fights, and I was to forgive them. And I got to tell you, the more that I see God, the more grateful I am at his activity. And then all of a sudden, you see more and more of God's activity. Because what you celebrate is what you focus on, and what you focus on is what you see. If you focus on the emptiness, you'll see nothing but emptiness, church. But if you focus on God being in the gap, in the space, you begin to see God in the space. It isn't just some wishful thinking that you just somehow create God moving. Because God's there, you're just simply highlighting his activity. Because God does care. Whether you know this or believe this doesn't negate this truth that you are dearly loved by God. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is teaching, he's been walking through the area and he's talking to people. And Matthew 9, 36 to 38 says that he, as he's walking through the area, saw the crowds of people and they were, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The words harassed and helpless in the Greek actually can translate to overwhelmed and overlooked. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've been overwhelmed by my situation or my circumstance, and I felt the gap. I felt like there was no way that I was going to be able to breathe again and get my head above water. Overlooked, there's been times where I've played the game so well that nobody actually knew what was going on in my heart. Nobody actually knew that I had any needs. They just thought I was all that and I was good. They thought, oh, you know what? Pastor doesn't have anything going on. He's okay. And I began to believe my lie that I was okay, but yet inside go, why doesn't anybody see that I'm hurting? Why doesn't anybody see that there's a hole in my marriage, that there's a gap in my finances? Why doesn't anybody see that God isn't here? Jesus saw them because they were harassed and helpless, overwhelmed and overlooked. Notice Jesus saw them. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. Church, if you don't have a gap, if you can say today, you know what? I don't feel a gap. I don't feel an emptiness in my heart. I don't feel like there's a hole that I need God to fill. Then it's your responsibility to go out into the field because there are people who do. We rub shoulders with people every day who feel the gap. We rub the shoulders every day with people who think God has abandoned them or that God isn't real, that God doesn't exist, and he doesn't love them or care for them. We rub shoulders with people every day. And I would lay odds that there are people in this room today who would say, I feel that gap. And I would tell you that God has not just sent me to tell you about Expansion Church, but God has sent me to tell you that he cares for you, that he sees you, that he loves you, and he wants you to highlight his activity in your life. But I also know that there are people in Sherrville who have the same feeling and need to hear the same message of God. And I get the opportunity to go do that. But church, today we're here. We're not in Sherrville. And God may be calling you to go to a neighbor, to a coworker, to a friend, to a family member and say, I want to pray for you because I believe God is with you and he sees you and he loves you and he cares about you. In fact, I was reading this book a couple weeks ago and it had this quote in it. It says, we have to bring an end to the anxiety that leaves us feeling discouraged and overwhelmed, unseen and uncared for. The book is titled, God is Able. But we have to bring an end to the anxiety that does leave us feeling discouraged, overwhelmed, that makes us feel uncared for, overlooked. And the way to bring an end to that anxiety, church, is to simply begin to highlight the activity of God in your life. To pray, ask God, God, where are you at? Let me see your hand. What are you doing? Let me see it. Let me experience it. And then as you experience it, know that God's going to call you to a deeper step of faith and God is going to invite you to join him where he's working in that gap and he's going to have something for you to do. And you faithfully do that and you will see God even more clearly working in that situation in your life. And then you begin to celebrate it and tell people. Because as you begin to tell people, they're going to get encouraged about what gaps God might fill in their life, and they're going to go tell the story, and then all of a sudden, you're going to see God showing up all over the place. Because God doesn't create space as empty. God fills the space. We just need to see him. So if you would, close your eyes. Would you say today that there's a gap, a hole, a void, a space that you feel in your heart? And if so, would you raise your hand? There's hands going up all over. I want to invite you to pray. God, show me where you're at work. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, you saw every hand that's raised. God, you know our lives better than we do. God, the gaps that we feel we feel them as empty. But may that draw us to this idea, God, that we should begin to pray, act, and celebrate because you fill the gap. You've already filled it in our lives. We just need to see that work. We need to highlight it. So God, we begin to highlight that work now, asking that you would show yourself in the situations that are exemplified in this moment. Father, as we bring our gap to you, our space, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to see where you're at work. And then give us, God, the courage to act in obedience as you invite us to join you where you're working in the gap. Because, God, there is incredible things that happen when we join you at work. And, Father, we're going to celebrate your activity. We're going to celebrate you because you, oh God, are faithful. And God, may we teach those to our kids, to our neighbors, to our friends. May we tell everyone that we come in contact with, God, that you have done a work because, God, you are worthy of our praise. God, we'll not hesitate to celebrate your goodness in our lives. Help us to see it and give us the courage to join you at work, God, we pray. God, thank you for level 13. Thank you for Rob and their leadership and the leadership of this church. God, thank you for how we've been able to partner with them. Bless them, God. May your spirit rest mightily upon them. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You guys, give it up for Pastor Tom. Like Tom mentioned earlier, the story of Level 13 and the story of the Cochrans and New Journey and now Expansion Church has been intertwined throughout the last decade, and it's exciting for me. I kind of am blessed to have a front row seat in all of this, and all the different capacities that we get to work. But today, Level 13 wanted to bless you guys and present Expansion Church with a check for $3,500. So I've asked Bruce to come and pray over Expansion Church and the work in Schererville, and if anybody would like to come and pray over Tom as well, you're welcome to come.
Father God, we do thank you for your love and the fact that you've got us just where you want us. Lord, we thank you for Tom and his boldness, his willingness to follow your guidance. Just bless him, bless his leadership and the church that he's building for you. Give him the grace and the power, the strength to spread your love. For us in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.